And good morning to you. It's Wendy Snyder, and this week in health is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And please welcome back to the show Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital. Hi, Dr. Wheat.
Hi, how are you this week?
I'm doing great, and I have some questions for you. My life is an open book, so let me go back to Thanksgiving. I got the flu really badly, and because I like to share things with my husband, I shared the flu with him, unbeknownst to me. Well, he has asthma, so that turned into double pneumonia, and he was in the hospital for 8 days. He has fully recovered, but now I see Kyle Busch in the news, and he was such a nice guy and a great guy, and he died at the age of 41 from bacterial pneumonia, but it progressed to sepsis. So I need to know, first of all, what is sepsis?
Yeah, so sepsis is when the bacteria gets into your blood. And when that happens, it can happen for a variety of different reasons. It can be from pneumonia. It can be from an infection that's someplace else, whether it's like a kidney infection, whether it was a bone infection. A variety of reasons can have you have sepsis, but ultimately bacteria in the blood. And then your blood pressure usually drops, your heart rate really changes, you become very sick very quickly.
Yes, because all this kind of happened to my husband. And I guess in Kyle Busch's case, they didn't get him on antibiotics quick enough. Is that what? Because it just scares me now a little bit because, you know, I am a hypochondriac.
No, So sometimes that can be what happened. I don't know specifically what happened in this case, but often, yes, we treat people with antibiotics as quickly as we can when sepsis is identified, often with fluids as well, often need to be in the hospital and be monitored for this. Many people experience it and recover, but it really is important to get treatment as quickly as possible.
All right. Well, now it has me worried about other things because I am a bit of a self-surgeon. A lot of times I will sterilize a needle, and if I have a blister or something, boy, blisters hurt when you get new shoes. So sometimes you pop a blister and, oh my God, instant relief. And then I put some alcohol on it and I put a Band-Aid, maybe some Neosporin or some Aquaphor. But now I'm worried that I can develop sepsis from these home surgeries.
You know, you could. You said something very important at the beginning of that, though. You said that you sterilize the needle first. And so that's really important. If you do that, it's fairly reasonable if you have a blister to let the fluid drain out. What I would say is don't totally take off the entire skin of that blister, though. Because, you know, when you have that blister, there's that little bit of skin that's on top. And
yeah.
If you drain it, then leave that skin there because that is causing the natural barrier. So if you do that, then make sure the natural barrier stays there and then cover it and keep it clean. When we worry about it becoming infected, and I wouldn't normally expect a blister to progress to sepsis to allay your fears just a little bit, but it can become infected. It's when it's open and gets exposed to things like dirt that's out there. So I'm thinking of like many people are probably out there gardening now and getting blisters on their hands with their garden equipment. So making sure that if that happens, that they cover it, they put on gloves before they go out gardening again to keep those areas clean. And so that's really the most important part. And if it starts to worsen, come and see your doctor in case we need to give you antibiotics.
Okay. And increased pain, redness, any kind of fluid developing, that's how an infection looks when it's first starting?
All of those things, the redness is spreading in different directions, especially if you start to get a fever and chills. It's absolutely a reason to be seen because then we're worried about the infection spreading. But absolutely something that's starting to look worse for any of those ways that you just described.
Aren't you going to ask me how I sterilized the needle? Aren't you dying to know?
Well, I have some guesses. I was waiting to see if you would say it or not.
I will say it, and you will tell me if this is okay. I took a lighter and burned the tip of it, and then I poured some rubbing alcohol on top of it. Is that sterilizing it?
That's pretty decent. Just be really careful with that fire.
Yes.
So that's decent for a needle, yes.
All right. See, people, I am not only a hypochondriac, I'm a self-surgeon. A home surgeon, I guess. No. What is the expression? Do as I say, not as I do.
Not as I do.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't operate on yourself at home. And, okay, so sepsis isn't anything we're going to have to be super worried about. But if you develop, I think a fever is a main thing, because I know Kyle Busch had raced like a few days earlier and won the race. And then he developed a fever. He was coughing up blood. So there were some signs here that perhaps it had moved forward. Right.
Yes. And I think that's the most important thing for anything. I really think it's important to be aware of what's happening with your body. When things are changing, when you feel like you're worsening, sure, if you have a cold, you don't necessarily need to come see the doctor for a typical cold. But if things feel out of the normal, it's a reason to reach out. At least call the office and we can help decide whether you need to come in or not. But pay attention to changes in your body.
Perfect advice. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then continue This Week in Health with Dr. Santina Wheat. If you have any questions, 312-981-7200. It is WGN. And good morning to you. It's Wendy Snyder, and we are talking to Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital. All right, Dr. Wheat, I know we have brought this up before, but colon and rectal cancer on the rise, even in younger people. And there, I was reading about now, there's a blood test that is included in the screening recommendations for determining your risk or whether or not you have it.
There is a blood test that is available, and that one of the organizations is now offering as a recommendation. It is meant to be, though, a recommendation if somebody is really unwilling to get one of the other screening modalities, the colonoscopy, which allows for direct visualization, or the stool test, which is usually a Cologuard brand test. And the reason for that is this blood test is able to identify colon cancers, but it's usually after they have progressed further than what we're able to identify with the other two options. And so if you're absolutely like, I'm not going to go through a colonoscopy unless I absolutely have to, or just the mechanics of dealing with the other test is challenging, this is an option, but it doesn't find things early, which is really what we hope to do when we do colon cancer screening, is we want to find things before it becomes cancer.
Yes, that is key. All right, so it's in addition to the other tests. It shouldn't be your first choice.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, see, this is why we have you on, because we need to know these things. All right, this is a goofy, self-serving question for you, but I plant tomatoes outside, and I was weeding like crazy last year, and I was just, you know, moving my hands, and I was out there for hours just getting rid of weeds. Well, I noticed something in one of my fingers. I developed something called trigger finger, where my finger would just kind of lock up. I went to see a hand doctor. I got an injection. It helped. It went away. But honestly, I feel like since that year of weeding, I have developed arthritis in my hands. There are different types of arthritis, because as soon as I say this to people, they're like, oh, rheumatoid? No, they're completely different things. Explain.
Yeah, so there are a couple of different types, as you mentioned. There's osteoarthritis, which I'm thinking is the type that you have developed. And that is the arthritis that we develop. People often think about it more like in their knees or their shoulders. And that is the arthritis that we develop from the wear and tear that occurs during our everyday lives. And then there is this rheumatoid arthritis, which is more of an autoimmune disease where the body is somewhat attacking itself, if you will, and it actually changes the formation of the hands and the joints. And so there's a lot more stiffness that goes along with it. If it's not treated early, can lead to the joints being malformed and making it difficult to use your hands or other joints that it's impacted by. all of those things we would want you to see your doctor for. The treatments are different. We can offer pain medications for all of them. But past that, for like the osteoarthritis, sometimes it's injections, like you mentioned. The one that you mentioned is more for like a an overuse injury. And some people will also get injections in their joints to help with the inflammation that's there. Sometimes there's procedures that can be done to help the different parts of the hand. For the rheumatoid arthritis, it's more likely specific medications to stop the progression of the disease.
Okay.
So it really depends on what you have.
Did I give myself arthritis from weeding? I doubt it, huh?
I doubt it. Part of the treatment really is continuing to move. And so it's good that you're out there doing those things. I also love that you're out there in the sunshine and getting the fresh air and the vitamin D and all of those things, too.
Oh, yeah,
so
I love
still
it.
Well worth it.
And I don't use gloves because I like to get my hand in dirt. And I have also read that getting your hands in dirt is actually a good way to help your mood. I don't know if it's true, but it works for me. Can we take a phone call?
Sure.
All right. Can you put Dr. Wheat Eli on hold so I don't, I mean, not on hold, but a conference call. We're having a little party line now. Hi, Nick. Dr. Santina Wheat is here. You had a question?
Yeah, thank you. Where I used to live at a few years ago, there's a lady has since passed, a wonderful human being. Called me that she fell down in the kitchen. I was upstairs in my room. I had a little room that I rented in her house. And I saw that she scraped her arm somehow on something around by the stove, or I don't know how it happened. But it was like 2 inches square, and maybe it was kind of deep, I don't know how to describe. But it wasn't bleeding actively, but in the beginning she did bleed a little. So I quickly thought to myself at her age, I believe then she was 88, and I thought, you know, if she insists on some kind of local drugstore treatment and, you know, that I go get this or get that, I thought, what if she develops gangrene? Because when you're older, as we know, like myself who's getting older, it's harder to, it's easier to get sick or hurt.
Yeah, and your circulation isn't working as well.
Right, there you go, yeah. So I called 911 instead right away. Just this is real fast in my mind. I'd rather have a crew come out and look at her, and they decided that it would be best to take her to the emergency room and have her treated. And she ended up spending about 2 weeks in a rehab place where they treated her wound and everything came out good. See, what I was concerned about, what if it led to gangrene and then she has to have part of her arm amputated? That wouldn't work for her. So I felt I did the right thing.
Yeah.
But, would that be the right thing to do when you have an older person who gets hurt with a, might not seem like a major injury, but because of her age, somebody can decide, like in the emergency room, they can decide if it should be advanced to more care. See, it takes it off of you then.
Yeah, Dr. Wheat, didn't Nick do the right thing?
I mean, it sounds like you did the right thing, especially since she ended up needing to be someplace for a couple of weeks. So absolutely. I think that every situation is going to be a little bit different. But with the fall and everything that you mentioned, I think it was absolutely the right call, what you did. It sounds like you really helped her out. Thank you so much for taking care of her.
Yeah, that was great. And again, you know, don't hesitate. When in doubt, mm-hmm. I say err on the side of caution. I mean, that's what you should do, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. And another question that was texted to us, perhaps you could help, 815. I just started my GLP-1, which it seems like a lot of people are now. And the question is, where should I be injecting myself and how many pounds a week is it okay to lose? I lost 4 pounds the first week and I just started week 2. Any advice?
So absolutely make sure you're checking in with the person that's prescribing it is my first advice. But usually you want to inject medications like this in areas where you have fat. So think about your belly. It could be like your thighs. It could be on the fatty part of your arm. And most people recommend alternating where you're injecting so that you're not injecting the same place over and over and over again so that you don't cause irritation in that area. I do think that it depends on how quickly you need to be losing weight. 4 pounds is a lot in a week, but sometimes in the first week or two, some of that's water weight. And so that's not necessarily a speed I would hope for you to have throughout the treatment course. And it would probably slow down to like maybe a pound or two a week. But really depends on making sure that your prescriber is paying attention to it, making sure that your labs stay normal, and that you're getting good nutrition while you're taking it.
All right, perfect. And we have under a minute, and we're probably not going to get through this. Pam, do you have a very quick arthritis question for Dr. Wheat?
Yes, I was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis in my fingers. Does that cause the lumps in your fingers, or is that
rheumatoid?
The rheumatoid, actually almost all types of arthritis can cause it. So you can still get it with the psoriatic arthritis, and your treatment for the psoriasis will help with that.
There you go, Pam.
Oh. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Dr. Wheat. We always enjoy talking to you. I will try not to put my fears onto other people. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital. Thank you so much for joining us. Are you going to be gardening this year?
I absolutely am. I'll be right out there with you.
Tomatoes, cucumbers, what you got?
Actually, both. I'm excited about them. I'm hoping they all grow.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Really appreciate it.